Going to ask you to give your close attention and your prayers to our brother Gordon as he brings God's word to us.
Thank you, Brother Jay. Good morning. May God be praised this day. I am thankful to be before you. I'm thankful to see each one of you. I'm sorry that I missed you all during the holidays. I had a bug that took over me for a little while, but I was able to overcome it. I want you to consider a couple of things before I get started. One, I want you to get seat-belted in, because we're going to go fast. There's going to be a lot of things that are being covered. I've underlined, I've provided every scripture, so it'll help with that process. I've underlined key words in the scriptures that you can focus on. And I'm going to try and paint a picture. It's going to be a historical picture. But it's important to understand that historical picture as to why we're here today. So, and what's the next step? So this picture up here you see is this island and beautiful ocean. It's important to the topic that I'm going to speak about today. And if I get this thing to work, and it's not going to work, so I'll use this. The seven vials of wrath. Now, does that give you a clue as to what this island is? Are you familiar with the scriptures? There's somebody that was exiled to that island. It's called the Island of Patmos. That was John the Revelator. And I know some of you out there going, oh my goodness, that's going to be a lot of stuff. Well, that's the reason why I said what I said, but I want to paint a picture because it's things that have passed and things to come. And hopefully I've been able to, by the grace of God, put it together for you in that light. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Write the things which thou hast seen, which are and shall be hereafter. That's important to remember when you're reading in the book of Revelation. This is supposedly maybe where John was. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So blessed. So there are things that we need to consider. It's for our well-being. Okay, 1 Nephi, 3rd chapter, 239 to 243, and then 251. And the angel said unto me, behold, one of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, behold, he shall see and write the remainder of these things, yea, and also many things which have been. And he also shall write concerning the end of the world. Wherefore the things which he shall write are just and true. And I, Nephi, heard and bear record that the name of the apostle of the Lamb was John, according to the word of the angel. Now, it's important to understand, because we have this testimony of the Book of Mormon, as I just read to you. Now, in the first century, this was common knowledge that it was John who wrote it, the apostle. But in the second century, guess what? There were doubters, and they actually wrote about it. And even to this day, their doubt is that it was the apostle John that wrote it. Rather, there was another one that wrote it, another John. So it's important to understand that that is a controversy. But it shouldn't be with you if you believe the words of the Book of Mormon and have that testimony. The wrath of God, continuing on, behold, the wrath of God is upon the mother of harlots And when the day cometh that the wrath of God is poured out upon the mother of harlots, which is the great and abominable church of all the earth, whose founder is the devil, then at that day the work of the Father shall commence in preparing the way for the fulfilling of his covenants which he hath made to his people, which are of the house of Israel. So there's two things I want you to take away from these scriptures here. You find that he says, well, the day cometh that the wrath of God is going to be poured out. And who is it going to be poured out upon? The mother of harlots. Well, that, I'm going to try to help you to understand what that encompasses. As we go through these vials, it'll tell us. It'll give us the clues. And history fulfills those and puts meat on the bones for those clues. But it's important for it to take place, because if it doesn't take place, that plan that God has at the end, as you read throughout Isaiah, that ultimate plan was to reclaim the remnant of Israel. That's that plan. And this has to begin for that plan to become a reality. That's the importance of this scripture. This is a picture. You can find it. It's in the Ott Heinrich Bible. It was painted by Matthias Grun, and it's just a caption within the Bible. It shows the seven vials. But as you can see the different elements in there, if you were familiar with the vials, I just thought I'd put it up there they considered it long ago. Revelation 16, 1 through 2. There fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. Noisome is an evil or a bad or a wicked. So there was something really nasty that fell upon man, and it was had to do with sores. The bubonic plague, the Black Death. God's wrath began in October 1347 AD when 12 ships from the Black Sea docked at the Sicilian port of Messina. Many sailors were dead and covered in black boils that oozed blood and pus. The Black Plague began in China. That's where it began. And spread through India and Persia and Syria and Egypt. And by 1351 AD, it had spread through Europe, North Africa, where half of the European population died. Now, estimates of just the European death was between 40 to 60 million people. That's just there. I read where some estimates, which would include China and all the other areas, almost 200 million. Now, it didn't just only affect people. It affected the animals, the cows and the sheep and the goats and the pigs and the chickens. It had an effect on all of them and killed them when they were infected. It's important to understand at this particular time, just a note during this particular time of history, because when these things were going on, guess what the world targeted? What people? Can you guess? Jews were massacred as Europe tried to purge their communities of heretics and other troublemakers to win God's forgiveness to overcome the plagues. Isn't that interesting? Who was behind their motives? The second vial of wrath. Revelation 16:3. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. I know there's all kinds of speculation by the world concerning what that might mean. But again, we can go to history. Between 1793 to 1815, this sets the stage for many things to come. in that plan of God to restore Israel. The French Revolutionary Wars, and then the Napoleonic Wars, saw the Royal Navy reach a peak of efficiency, dominating the navies of all Britain's adversaries, which spent most of the war blockaded in port. The navies in support of France were Spain, Holland, and Portugal, who were all vassals of the Mother of Harlots. Do you see how that's playing out against the Mother of Harlots? Vassals is a person granted the use of land in return for rendering homage, but usually military service or the equivalent. What else was going on during that period of time? What happened here in our country? I know 1793 was a little bit past that. By 1786, we were able to gain our independence and was established as a nation. What part does that play in that plan of God in the restoration of the house of Israel? You can think about those things. And the freedom. 1813, they had started changing their mind. They was going to come back. They even went to Washington. But it was fought back. The third vial of the wrath of God. Revelation 16, 4 through 7. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, and they became blood. Again, in that same vein, it's war. 1799 through 1815, and it has to do with the Napoleonic Wars, began the Battle of Austerlitz at the headwaters of the Rhine. Napoleon fought against Russian and Austrian troops, which was a big victory that let him create the Confederation of the Rhine. Napoleon continued his conquest against the Holy Roman Empire, Great Britain, Sweden, Portugal, and Spain. The Duke of Wellington of Great Britain in 1815 ultimately defeated Napoleon at the Battle of Waterloo. Again, that same war continuing in Europe. And what was it doing? It was a disruptor. It was taking the power base away from the Mother of Harlots. Do you see the picture of how God was planning to reclaim Israel and how he was doing it? And he poured out his wrath for that purpose. The fourth vial of wrath, Revelation 16, 8 through 9, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. Now, I know because futuristics, they think, oh, this is nuclear war. Well, it's a nuclear war of sorts. Do you have an idea what it is? The Restoration. This is John Gill's Bible commentary. He lived in 1697 through 1771. When Zion's light will become, and the light of the sun will be sevenfold, and Christ alone will be exalted. Yet will convict and confound the anti-Christian party. They will be scorched with beams of heat and light. These will torture them and fill them with what? Envy and rage and malice, because they will not be able to obscure this light or stop the progress of it. Doesn't that fulfill Scripture? They will not be able to overcome the saints. They themselves will be so enlightened by it as to see and know the truth of Christ's person offices. I thought that interesting. Because the restoration brought back what? The holy priesthood of God. And all of its ordinances and the grace that came through Jesus Christ, through baptism, and forgiveness of sin. Yet we'll sin against it and so be guilty of blaspheming against the Spirit of God. But we have scripture to go along with it. 1 Nephi 11:4, and after the Gentiles do stumble exceedingly because of the most plain and precious parts of the gospel of the Lamb, which have been kept back by who? By the abominable church, which is the mother of harlots, saith the Lamb. Wherefore I will be merciful unto the Gentiles in that day, saith the Lamb, insomuch I will bring forth unto them in my own power much of my gospel, which shall be plain and precious, saith the Lamb. Do you see why those vials of wrath have to be poured out upon the mother of harlots? For this to be fulfilled. Revelation 16:10-11. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seed of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain. You have any ideas what that might be? In history, can you think about it? There was a little thing in 1848 called the Communist Manifesto. It was written by Friedrich Engels. Well, Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels. Forgive me. I don't know why that got missed. It's one of the most widely taught texts in sociology, which is true. The Communist League in London commissioned the work, which was originally published in German. At the time, it served as a political rallying cry for the communist movement in Europe. Karl Marx, he is the picture for that. He was born in Trier. I had the fortunate to be able to live in Trier for a couple of years when I was in Germany as a young man, or young boy, excuse me. I lived up on the hill overlooking Trier and the Moselle River. And you wonder why I like history? It's because I can connect to it. Not everyone gets the opportunity to touch and feel history like that, as I was afforded when I was young. History is important to help us to see that beautiful picture of the plan of God. Oops. Let me back up. Forgive me. Let me see. I guess I didn't put it in there. I had a lot of information that I read about the amount of deaths that communism has brought to the world. If you can think back, and I don't know if you know much about history, but if you can think back, and maybe I've got it here. Oh, yes, I do. I put it here. So there's a book that was called The Black Book of Communism. There were 65 million people who died in the Republic of China by Mao Zedong when he took over after World War II to the present date, which was in 1997. Another country, Soviet Union, 20 million approximately died by Stalin. 2 million in Cambodia. 2 million in North Korea, a little over a million and a half in Ethiopia, a million and a half in Afghanistan, 1 million in communist states in Eastern Europe, 1 million in Vietnam, 150,000 in Cuba, and other related deaths. Do you get the picture? And so that gnawing of their tongue, mostly every one of those I listed there had to do with a religious war. Many people don't, young people don't realize that the Vietnam War, which was fought with France, it was a Catholic war. And we took over after the French. What did the Russians do? They put down Catholicism, the Eastern Orthodox Church in the countries that they, all the little countries that they swallowed up. North Korea, you can understand some of those things. That's the picture of that particular vial. The sixth vial of the wrath of God, Revelation 16:12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great rivers Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, and that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. I hope and pray that you have an idea what this meant, because it has been testified to you in times past. But if you don't remember, I'll get here. That was in 2001. It's called September 11th tax. You all remember what took place? It was a suicide attack committed by 19 militants associated with the Islamic extremist group, Al-Qaeda, against targets in the United States. It was the deadliest terrorist attack on American soil in U.S. history. And there is good evidence that opened that vial was poured at that time because of our brother Don and Jay, who are in Mexico. And when they saw this going on, Brother Don went off into the room and started praying, and he was told to go read. And this was the scripture that he was to read. And he understood that this was the fulfillment and the beginning of that. And we're suffering with it even today in the Afghan war. At that time, again, almost 3,000 people died in that attack. Verse 13, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. So the dragon is Satan. You can read that in Revelation 12:9. The beast, it's been outlined, it is outlined within the book of Revelation. It gives you a clear picture. Those in the first century knew very clear. I mean, as it was what it was going to be pointing to. Later on, it was, the idea had been changed by future generations. In Revelation 13:1-11. False prophet, Muhammad, Islamic, the Islamic prophet. So the interesting things here is it says like frogs. Isn't that a cute little guy? Don't you just want to, you know, it's typical for a person to want to, hey, let me touch it, especially a young person. This is called the golden dart frog. It's venomous, and it's very deceptive, isn't it? Because it's kind of cute. But that's what those three entities are. It's a perfect description, and all its spirits that go with it. A single golden poison frog harbors enough poison to kill 10 grown men. Now, the smallest is about an inch and a half, and the biggest is about 2.5 inches, making these frogs perhaps the most poisonous animals alive. They are one of many species of toxic frogs, which are known as poison dart frogs. Interesting, isn't it? As we continue in the sixth vial, it says, the 14th and 15th verse, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles. That's those deceptions. They're not truly miracles, they're deceptions, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world, and to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Remember the sorcerers during the different plagues that came upon Egypt? Many of those, what did they do? They were able to duplicate them, didn't they? And that's what it's talking about. Matthew in the 7th chapter, 22 through 23, many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I kind of saw that a little differently when I did this study. So, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth. That's the important part. You could read the same thing in Matthew. In Luke, excuse me, in the 21st chapter. It's Christ's words. The 34th through the 36th verse, speaking of our day, not to be caught up into the world, but that we need to be watching. And keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. So it begs the question, what should we expect to see now? And we know, well, there's seven, so it's got to be the seventh. But what does that include? What should we be looking for? I'm hoping I'm going to be able to give you some ideas and you can start thinking about these things, right? That's why I had to go through the first six to bring you up to speed as to why. Again, what was the focus? The great plan of God, what? To reclaim the house of Israel, right? So through those six vials, the Bride of Christ has been actively involved in that. I know Brother Brian has a testimony that the work that he's been doing in Africa is among one of the houses of Israel, of the lost tribes. He believes that, Kisi, and I believe it as well, because I believe it fulfills the words of Jacob in the 3rd chapter of the Book of Mormon. I also believe it about the Filipinos, that the ones that we're working on there, among them, because they have their own testimony, and I've heard it. And Israel has been over there in the islands long, long time before we ever got there, because there's writings, ancient writings, Hebrew writings on over by a pool of water rock side, and it's carved in the rock, ancient Hebrew. They have an affinity with. In fact, Israel was the only one that supplied them weapons when they needed it during one of their wars against Al-Qaeda. Not to take, to forget, Brother Don and Jay working among the Mayan, our brothers and sisters in Mexico. They were the first in 1953 when they became part of the Bride of Christ. Fulfilling that work. But what should we expect to see now, today? Since then, isn't it interesting, just a caveat, that 2001, the major work was beginning. And the quorum had been filled, and the work was in full swing among Israel, the house of Israel. I could see those things. It's the fulfilling of scriptures. It should bring joy to your heart. You should be energized because you're a part of it. And I want you to be a part of it. To understand that. 1 Nephi, third chapter, 2-9. And it came to pass that I beheld that the great mother of abominations did gather in multitudes upon the face of all the earth and among all the nations of the Gentiles, what? To fight against the Lamb of God. So, now everything's going to be arrayed against this, against us. Gathered together. Does that mean they're all going to get on airplanes and trains or whatever and come together in one big place? No. I think it's interesting, those words, because what brings us all together? What is the connection? Think about it. I'll cover that later. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld the power of the Lamb of God, what? That it descended upon the saints of the church of the Lamb and upon the covenant people of the Lord, which were scattered upon all the face of the land. He's going to protect them by his power during that period of time. This time that we live, you can depend on it. Secret combinations. Governments and agencies are going to come after us. Lawyers and judges are going to come after us. News and entertainment and social media are going to come after us. Secret combinations. All those entities will be arrayed against the Lamb of God and those who follow him. So don't think it odd that every time you click on whatever, you get blasted by hate and anger and malice and all those things that it was talking about was going to take place. Wherefore, now this is the warning. Wherefore, and it comes out of Ether 3, 3rd chapter 96. Wherefore, O ye Gentiles, it is wisdom in God that these things should be shown unto you. It's Moroni speaking. And that's the words that we find in the Book of Mormon. Okay, that's what that's talking about. That thereby ye may repent of your sins and suffer not that these murderous combinations shall get above you, which are built up, what? To get power and gain and the work, yea, even the work of destruction come upon you. So they want to destroy you, but they also want to get power and gain. Isn't that cool? The seventh vial. I put that in there for the younger people. But anyhow, where are we? Okay? Where are we? Revelation 16, 6 through 17. And he gathereth them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. Now, as you go to the next chapter, the 17th chapter, it talks about the different, it starts identifying the beast, and then we get into the 18th chapter, and it deals with Babylon and her complete destruction. So really, this is the last before Christ comes, okay? This vial. Are we in it? Let's see. So I'm going to use John Gill again. Or upon the air, as the Alexandrian copy or the Syriac and the Arabic versions read, by which is meant the kingdom of Satan, he being the prince of the power of the air. And you can read that in Ephesians 2:2. Armageddon. Megiddon, which is Mount Megiddo, there in the land of Canaan. If you remember, King Josiah, and he was a child king. He was about 8 years old. Later on in his life, he had commanded to repair the temple. They found the book of the law. They hadn't had it. And he goes, what's that? And they gave it to him, and he read it. And he read the coming disaster that was going to be upon Israel. And that was in the days of Jeremiah, and Lehi had prophesied against as to what those days were going to be. They were going to be carried off. And so he repented. And so the Lord made a promise to him that it wouldn't happen until after he was laid to rest. But in Ephesians 2:2, it says, wherein in the times past ye walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And this is on top of Megiddo, looking across that valley. And that's, as you can see, Mount Tabor, Zizreel Valley. The kingdom of the devil must shake. 2 Nephi 12, 23 through 24. Helps to explain, maybe we might be in that period of time of the seventh vial. For the kingdom of the devil must shake, and they which belong to it must needs be stirred up unto repentance, or the devil will grasp them with his everlasting chains, and they be stirred up to anger and perish. For behold, at that day shall what? He rage in the hearts of the children of men, and do what? Stir them up to anger against that which is good. Are we not seeing that being fulfilled? Even more so since our last election, at least in this country? But if we extend our vision outside of our country, are we seeing the same thing? Can we see evidence of the same thing? That's important to ask. I think we can say yes. 2 Nephi 12:90, for the time speedily cometh that the Lord God shall cause what? A great division among the people. The wicked will he destroy, and he will spare his people, yea, even if it so be that he must destroy the wicked by fire. So that great division has to take place. Right? It's going to take place because he said He's going to cause it. And I think the catalyst was that seventh vial, that division. And we're seeing that division, clarity, for what? Think about that. First Nephi 7:51, yea, and find all they which belong to the kingdom of the devil. It is they which need fear and tremble and quake. Okay, there is a definition given to us as to who all they are. And that's in verse 50 of that same chapter. It says, for the time speedily shall come that all churches which are built up, what? To get gain. And then it says, and there's another, all they which are built up to get power over the flesh. So you have these churches that are trying to get gain, and then you have those who are built up to try to get power over the flesh. It could be churches, but it can be others. It could be governments, societies, different things, right? They which are built up to become what? Popular in the eyes of the world? And they which seek the lusts of the flesh and the things of the world and to do all manner of iniquity. Popularity in the eyes of the world? Yeah, we got a pop culture, don't we? All of those are identified as those in the kingdom of the devil. It's those who need to fear, tremble, and quake at this time. As God pours out that vial to cause that division. What? To discern truth. Because now for the first time, you can start seeing truth clearly, right? And we've got some rare examples of that. When you have a governor in Virginia that actually would say during an interview, concerning abortion. Well, we will take the baby after it's born and we will bring it over here and make it comfortable. Then we'll go and talk to the mother and she could decide if it lives or dies. How hard is it? To see what's good and what's wrong. That's that division. That's that division that God was speaking of. That we can see, that we can make a clear choice who we're going to follow. The valley of decision. Now, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. And really, Armageddon is a term maybe that's relating to Jehoshaphat, this particular verse in Joel in the third chapter. And will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Now, in this particular case, the Hebrew word is threshing, sledge. Meaning, you know, a thresher. When you're threshing, like over in the Philippines and I watch where they thresh rice, that machine goes and you can see the chaff and everything blowing up in the air and the rice falls down right in front of them out in the fields on a pad and then they glean it up. But he's making that judgment as what's good and what's bad, and he'll do that there. But for the whole purpose is the gathering for that to take place, for the return of Christ. The trial of your faith. This is going to be very important in the day that we live, from now until Christ returns. because all those powers are going to be arrayed against you that I talked about before. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found with praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Tried with fire. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. Satan is going to work on your heart and mind to try to deceive all those other entities. But you have one power that is greater than all. Just like the plagues of Pharaoh, right? When Aaron laid down the rod of Moses, it turned into a serpent. And those sorcerers, what did they say? Oh, well, we could do that, Pharaoh. And they did the same thing. But what took place? What took place? Yeah. Moses' rod that had turned into a snake consumed the snakes of the sorcerers. That's the power of God. And that's the example. The restored gospel of Jesus Christ, Revelation 14, 6 through 7. I saw another angel in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel, to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. So you understand now that fourth vial? The hour of judgment upon all the kingdom of the devil, all those that were listed in the kingdom of the devil. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of the waters. And if you continue to read here in Revelation, it takes you right into our day, coming up, leading up into the return of Christ. So, Ether, the promise. Ether 1, 112 to 113. Yea, when ye shall call upon the Father in my name with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, then shall ye know that the Father hath remembered the covenant which he made unto your fathers, O house of Israel. And then shall my revelations, which I have caused to be written by my servant John, be unfolded in the eyes of all the people. Completely subdued to the will of Christ, and truly penitent for your sins, and come and follow him. Ether 1:14, remember when you see these things, you shall know that the time is at hand, that they shall be made manifest in very deed, and that is the fact. We're able to see them. Therefore, when you shall receive this record, ye may know that the work of the Father has commenced. So another timetable, right? Upon all the face of the land. Another testimony that is started. Moroni 10, 3 through 4. Behold, I would exhort you that when ye shall read these things, if it be wisdom in God that you should read them, think about those words, that you should remember how merciful the Lord hath been unto the children of men from the creation of Adam, even down unto the time that ye shall receive these things and ponder it in your hearts. And when ye shall receive these things, I would exhort you that you would ask God, the Eternal Father, in the name of Christ, if these things are not true. Now, I had a long-winded discussion with Joel this last weekend when we traveled to Golden Valley. I took this to heart when I was 16, and God did give me a witness of the Book of Mormon, one that stood with me through my trial of faith when I was disobedient. But he carried me because of that testimony, because I knew the words were true, and I couldn't deny it. You even find the same thing with the three witnesses of the Book of Mormon when they were cast out of their own church. And if you shall ask with a sincere heart and with real intent, having faith in Christ, young people, you need to have that testimony. Anyone in this room that does not have that testimony, you need to seek it. Because that's part of that fire that's going to be coming up. It's going to come, and if you don't have that firm foundation on that testimony of the Book of Mormon, it's going to be very difficult for you. You'll be standing on a sanding foundation. He will manifest the truth, and that's for me, that's not a word of faith, it's a word of knowledge. By the power of the Holy Ghost, and by the power of the Holy Ghost you may know the truth of all things. And whatsoever things is good is just and true, wherefore nothing is good denieth the Christ, but acknowledge that he is. Come unto me, O ye Gentiles, and I will show unto you the greater things, the knowledge which is hid up because of unbelief. And really, think about it. Because as we have been given the gift of the Holy Ghost, we have understanding of the scriptures, of the prophecies. And we're able to work and minister under the children of men to do what? To fulfill the plan of God in the day that we live. And that's what's so important. Through His Holy Spirit, He gives us that knowledge to do that work and to be that light, each one of us, to testify, to go out into the world and to be that testimony for Christ in these last days for everything that's good and right and just before God. Come unto me, O ye house of Israel, and it shall be made manifest unto you how great things the Father hath laid up for you from the foundation of the world. That plan was from the foundation. And it hath not come unto you because of unbelief. And it hath not come unto you because of unbelief. Meaning that the great things they haven't seen because of unbelief. Therefore repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, Christ, and believe in my gospel, its purity, and be baptized in my name. For he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned, and signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Now again, this is the important part of that gospel of Christ was given to us in that great plan of salvation. We know that Christ came and he redeemed all mankind. That's why when we read this, we need to understand the importance. If we believe in Christ, we need to look further, that we might find a complete truth in all things, that we might be part of the bride of Christ. And blessed is he that is found faithful unto my name at the last day, for he shall be lifted up to dwell in the kingdom prepared for him from the foundation of the world. And behold, it is I that have spoken it. Amen. I have one last scripture, not scripture, but one last picture, and it's almost high noon or after. But it's important. It's a picture of our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. I wanted it to show you that you have many brothers and sisters, and how many of you understand that. One day, think about it, one day you'll get to meet them who persevere and endure to the end. And we'll all be together and we'll know. What a beautiful day that'll be when Christ returns and he establishes kingdom on earth and he will rule. And we'll live for 1,000 years. And then the end come. May God bless us, is my prayer.